All right, if you would tonight, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, I'm going to just read a few verses here and then we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hadn't been too long, we went across these verses here in Acts chapter 26. And we have here the account that Paul gives before King Agrippa. And I wanted to bring out one particular point here in these verses and then compare it over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Acts chapter 26, verse number 15, Paul speaking to King Agrippa about his meeting with the Lord. He said, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which have appeared unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, to whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." I want us to notice here what Paul says. The Lord gave him the purpose that he had saved him. He says in verse 17, he said, "I'm sending you to the Gentiles." And here's what Paul was to do: to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. So that was the purpose that the Lord gave to Paul on that day as he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. God gave him a pretty good outline of his ministry and his life. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we find the opposite side of this concerning the work of the wicked one, the work of Satan, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. This same Apostle Paul that received the message from the Lord about opening the eyes and turning them from darkness to light makes this statement here in verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In this particular passage here, Paul is describing how that the devil works to continually keep men and women in the darkness of sin. Paul had the message, Paul had the commission from the Lord that he was to go and to preach the gospel, and in doing that, their eyes would be opened and they'd be taken out of darkness and would see the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he comes to reality and he sees the work of the Lord and the meeting with people, he tells us here that if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And then he tells us why they are lost. He tells us that Satan has blinded their minds and literally has blinded their thought patterns, and lest the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would shine unto them the righteousness of the Lord, and that they be saved. So tonight I want us to think just a few minutes about this blinding of Satan. How that Satan works on lost people, how that Satan deals with multitudes of thousands of people in the world that are spiritually blind and spiritually away from God. How that he continually makes them unable to see the goodness of God and to see the grace of God and the salvation of the Lord. Our scripture here declares that it is the work of Satan that keeps the blindness upon people's minds. It is the work of the wicked one, the work of the devil, to keep people away from the Lord and to keep them in the power and under the grip of sin. And so tonight I want us to look at the few things here as to what he does to keep men lost and to keep them in the darkness that we have been commanded, that we are to give forth the gospel that they might see. And so there's a vast difference between the work of the Lord, which is a enlightening process that God enlightens us and helps us to see and makes us to understand the gospel. And then the other side of it is the devil's working very diligently as hard to keep men and to keep people in the darkness of sin. First of all, Satan will blind men to the goodness of God. When we hear the subject of the goodness of God, you and I tonight, as a believer, we understand how good God is. We understand how much that He has done for us and how that He has blessed us, because our minds have been opened and our eyes have been opened to the goodness and the grace of the Lord. But the devil, he blinds men to the goodness of God, and they just do not see. You see, the mercies of the Lord, the Bible tells us, are extended, and they're fresh and new every day, according to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 23. I'm glad, thank God, for the mercy of the Lord, for without mercy we would all suffer the damnation of hell. But God cared for us, God loved us, God had mercy upon us. But yet there are many today that ignore the mercy of God. They ignore the things of the Lord, and they hold them even in contempt, that they just do not even want to hear about the Lord and do not want to hear about the things of God. They have their mind has been so darkened, and their thoughts have been so clouded by the wicked one, that they just do not even see the goodness of God. And if there's anything that they think about, it's maybe a coincidence or some kind of perhaps or chance that has taken place. But I'm glad tonight that the mercy of God has been bestowed upon us. We, the people of God and people of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have freedom and liberty in the Lord, and we can understand and we can take this book tonight and we can rejoice in God's goodness to us. If we were to take time tonight and go around the auditorium, every one of us could name many, many things of how God has blessed us and what God has done for us and the goodness of God that has been shown to us. One of the great things is that His goodness has brought us to a point of understanding salvation and understanding the life that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul says, if our gospel be hid, and so therefore the gospel is hid, and it is hid to those that have been blinded to the thoughts and to the things of God's mercy and God's goodness and God's grace, and they just do not understand what it's all about when it comes to salvation, because the devil has so darkened their minds and so darkened their thoughts that they have no understanding, and they have been misled and misdirected for so many generations and so many years now that many people don't even accept this as the Word of God. This is just another book. And so this is a way that Satan has taken the minds of people and kept them in darkness. And therefore, that's where he desires for them to stay. He wants them in darkness, because darkness brings about damnation. And therefore, that is the hope and the desire of the devil. And the Bible says here that their minds, and the God of this world hath blinded the minds. And it goes on and tells us here that God has commended the light to shine out of darkness. And so God has given us the light. God has given us the means whereby that light can penetrate the darkness, and darkness has to flee. When you have light and dark, they cannot coexist together. For where one is, where light is, darkness has to disappear. That's why tonight we're sitting in light, and we're sitting where we can see each other. All you have to do is turn the lights out, and we're in darkness, and the darkness overtakes us. And that's how the devil has worked in the minds of many, many people, that darkness is upon them, and they will have nothing to do with God, and so therefore Satan has blinded them to the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of God. I'm glad tonight He's good. And so many things we could think about. He's good to us personally. He's good to us physically. He's good to us in our mentally and socially and spiritually. God is just good to us, and we understand that. And that came about because one day He saved us and has given to us eternal life. When Paul was rehearsing here in the ears of Agrippa, He tells King Agrippa. He said, I saw the light shining. He said, I stood upon my feet, and the Lord says, I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. And then he says what he's to do there is to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. And that's where we have been turned tonight. We have different dates and different times and different experiences. We have different circumstances that surround our salvation. But the end result is that we are taken out of darkness. The end result is that we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness, but now we're in the kingdom of the light and the dear Son of God. So Satan blinds men to goodness of God, therefore keeping them in the hold of wickedness and keeping them away from the mercies of the Lord and keeping them away from the grace of God, and holds them until one day, if the Lord doesn't change their thoughts and doesn't come upon them, then one day they'll be lost without hope. He blinds them to God's goodness. You'd be surprised tonight how many people in our country never consider the goodness of God, never consider what God has done for them. And so Satan continually blinds them and keeps them away from God's greatness and His goodness. The second thing God does is that, or that the devil does, is that he blinds men to their spiritual condition. If you talk to folks up and down the streets tonight and around the corners, you'll find that many people think they will say, "Well, preacher or individual, I think I'm okay. I'm as good as someone else is. I've done as much as so and so." And the devil has blinded them to their own spiritual condition, and they look at everybody else, and Satan would lead to them to believe that they are all right because they appear to be so. Well, I do this, and I'm a good moral person. I'm not a drunkard, and I always talk about what they do and don't do, but that does not make them spiritually right with God. And Satan will blind them to the spiritual condition that they are maybe clean on the outside, but inside still full of dead men's bones. I washed my little black car the other day and didn't clean it out. I told somebody, I said, "That's my Pharisee car. I got it cleaned up on the outside, but the inside's still full of dead men's bones and all kind of junk and things in the floor and need a vacuum cleaner." So we can clean up the outside and we can make it look very good. But you know, it is God that looks on the heart, and He knows what's on the inside. And the devil does everything in his power to blind men to their own spiritual condition, and they'll say, "Well, I'm doing okay." Well, what is the condition of man? Well, that's very clear in the Scripture that, first of all, man's a sinner. He's outside of the will of God. He's outside of the fold of God. He doesn't have any relationship with God at all. He's dead in sins and trespasses, and he is just away from God. He's a sinner. Sinner by nature, sinner by choice, sinner by practice, sinner by birth. He's a sinner. And so we find that as long as Satan can keep him thinking that his good works do okay, he'll be all right and he's not too bad, as long as Satan can continually blind him to his spiritual condition. You see, nobody ever gets saved until they first realize they're lost, until they realize that they are wicked, that they are not Mr. Good Person, but they are ungodly and they are undone and they have to repent. But as long as the devil can keep that shadow over them that makes them feel like that their works are okay, and the Bible all along tells us that all of our works, our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags according to Isaiah 65. And the Bible tells us that man abides under the wrath of God and is just waiting, hovering to fall. And thank God for His grace that it does not. But the devil will do everything he can to make men and women be real religious. You see, religion saves no one. Really, religion dooms more people to hell than anything else. Religion says, "Well, you got to do these things that our church says." And religion says you got to do it this way. And if you don't do it this way, then that's not... But salvation is not a religion. Salvation is an experience with the Lord. And as long as the devil can keep somebody religious, Well, they can go to church every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night and all other times when things are going on, and they can feel okay. But if they've never met the Lord, the devil still has them in their bondage, and the devil has them still blinded, and the devil has them going his direction without hope and without God. So if a man's lost, if the gospel's hid, it's hid to those that have been blinded. It's hid to those that the light has not shone through and the darkness is still upon them. Man is a sinner. Man is in his best of filthy rags. Man is under the wrath of a God that does not hate him, but he hates sin. And that sin was judged one day upon Calvary. We must accept the judgment and the payment for that that Jesus did upon Calvary's tree that day. You see, when we accept that, our eyes are opened. When we accept the gospel, we accept the things that Jesus has given to us, then we begin to see, and then we'll think, wonder why I didn't see that before. Wonder why I didn't understand that, because our minds have been darkened. You see, the devil is not just a force, he's a person. He's not just a personality, he's a person that deals with us, and he has so many workers and so many demons, and all the devil is not... He's not everywhere at the same place like Jesus, like God is, but he has many workers and has many demons that persuade men against the things of the Lord and make them feel like they're all right and keep them blind into their spiritual condition. And if he can keep them that way until they die, then he has a grip upon them for all eternity. What a sad state of affairs it is when man dies without God. What a sad thing it is for a person to die and never have heard of the Lord. That's why we have missions like we did last week. What a sad thing it is for a person to die under the under the shadow of a church that teaches and preaches the truth and still die without God. And all that is because the devil has their eyes blinded. Has their minds blinded to the glorious gospel. For if the light shines and appears, then they shall be saved. The Scripture calls it the glorious gospel of Christ. Christ, who is the image of God, and He should shine unto them. And thank God tonight the gospel shines to folks as they believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan blinds them to the goodness of God. Satan blinds them to their spiritual condition. He keeps them thinking everything's all right, and then one day they die without God, and they find out it's not all right. Thirdly, Satan blinds men to the Bible truth and the way of salvation. If you were to take a survey tonight and go up and down Madisonville, Kentucky, right here in the middle of the Bible Belt, you would be surprised and you'd be shocked at how many different ways people would tell you that you can go to heaven. I mean, they have all kind of thoughts. They have their own ways. And so Satan blinds men to Bible truth. Now, really and truly, the devil doesn't mind it if we have a little bit of truth. He doesn't mind it if we have just a portion of the truth, as long as we mix some other things in that makes that truth a lie. And so he doesn't really bother us that way, and he blinds men to the truth of the way of salvation. And by the way of salvation is only one way, and that's through the Lord. He and He alone, grace and grace alone. So many people say, "Well, if you ask them, how do you know you're going to heaven?" Well, I sure hope I am. Well, what are you hoping on? What are you basing on? Well, one day I had this fuzzy feeling, and they think they're okay. Well, one day God answered a prayer. I prayed some kind of prayer, and it was answered. That doesn't mean anything. Well, I was raised whatever name they want to put there, and that's my mother and my father, they were that, and I was raised in that kind of church, and I went through all the memory verses, the catechism, I went through all the learning, and I know what my church believes. And so I was confirmed one day, and they made me a member of the church. Satan just continually stands back and smiles while they are ignorant to the truth of the Word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Satan looks upon them and says, they're depending on everything else. You'll be surprised how many Baptists will tell you, "Well, I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven?" "Well, yeah, I was baptized down here And they'll give you a time and a place and a date. You're not asking for baptism. You're asking for salvation. And baptism does not save us. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience to God because He's told us to do it. And so we find that the devil blinds men to truth. And he'll give you a portion of, and a partial truth. Satan does not want men to believe all the gospel. And if they believe the gospel, he wants to add something to it. Why is that? Why does he want to do that? Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. To the Jew first, now also to the Greek. And it is the gospel. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm persuaded that he is able. And so Paul gives us all the things about the gospel. You see, the gospel is the good news for the sinner that will come to an understanding that he is lost. His spiritual condition is that he is lost. The gospel will change that and will turn it around. And he will realize that I can be saved. The gospel is that which will reveal to us the goodness of God. It is the gospel that will show us that we are a poor lost sinner without God. And it is only through His power, only through His way and His grace that we can go to heaven. But the devil, he just says, well, you just believe what you just believe this and you'll be all right. I don't know how many people I've talked to and they said, well, I believe I'm okay, preacher. When the Word of God tells them they're not okay. And you can sit there and read it to them and you read it to them and they said, but there's no but to it. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and believing and trusting, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of the power of God, and it will transform an individual's life. It'll make us a new creature. It'll transform a servant of Satan into a servant of God. And I guess the best example of that anywhere in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. It changed his life. You see, Paul was blinded to these things until one day he met the Lord. Paul, he thought he was a pretty good man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He dealt with his own goodness, his own good ways. And Paul, he didn't realize his spiritual condition because he was a Jew. And he did all the things that his fathers had taught him. And he had studied under Gamaliel. And he had all the truth and had everything. But yet he was lost. And for him to ever come to a knowledge in the way of salvation, he had to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happened that day on the road to Damascus, and Paul tells his testimony time and time again. But as long as Satan can keep us blinded to the goodness of God, as long as Satan can keep the world blinded to their spiritual condition, as long as he can keep them away from truth. You know why this book is hated so much? Because it is truth. It doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. It doesn't just have some good stories. It is His story. It doesn't have just some good parables. It's His book. And as long as the devil can keep us away from the truth of God's Word and can put something in the place of it, then he continually blinds the eyes of individuals. Salvation is a free gift. Cannot be purchased. Cannot be worked. All that can be done is to be accepted. That the Lord has offered and given to every individual that will believe. Then another thing, and I'll make this the last one. Satan blinds men to the brevity of life. We're going to live forever, you know that? We live like we are. Satan blinds men to the shortness of life and the certainty of judgment. Sunday night, spoke a little bit upon the judgment seat of Christ. But there's another judgment that we mentioned just a little bit, didn't get into. And it's found in Revelation chapter 20. It's called the White Throne Judgment. And as long as the devil can keep men's minds blinded to the thought that one day they're going to stand before God, then they can live the way they want to live. As long as I don't have to give an account to anyone. No wonder this world, no wonder our world system wants to do away with God because they don't want to believe that one day they'll stand before somebody that has authority over them. And so, Satan will blind people to the brevity of life and the judgment that is certain. death is certain. For it's appointed a man once to die. And after that, the judgment. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, life is like a vapor. You ever seen a vapor? Put a pot of water on the stove and the vapor comes up and all of a sudden it's gone. That's how James describes our length of life. That's how James says it's just here for a moment and gone. Job says it's swifter than a weaver's shuttle. That's back and forth and it's over. The Scripture declares to us that life is short. The Scripture declares to us that death is sure. The Scripture tells us and declares to us that judgment is before us and we will stand before God. But as long as the devil can blind men to the thought and the thinking that life is going to be okay and it'll be all right. I've talked to men, I've talked to ladies, I've talked to people that were on their, literally their deathbed, and they would not believe and would not trust because I'll do it tomorrow. They really didn't believe life was short. I'll do it tomorrow. They may be taking their last breath now, and they may not be a tomorrow for them, but yet the devil has blinded them to say there's another opportunity, there's another time. And there may not be another time. There may not be another opportunity. We have no promise of tomorrow. Every one of us in here tonight have plans for tomorrow. We've got certain things that we have that we think we have to do. But we may not have to do them. For tomorrow may not come for us. The old song in our songbook, Oh Why Not Tonight. The second verse says, tomorrow's sun may never rise. And for you and I, it may not rise. It'll rise for someone, but tomorrow's sun may not rise for us. But the devil, he goes and he tells people, oh, that's for somebody else. How many times have we heard people say, when a storm come through or a flood came through, well, I've heard it always happening to somebody else and I didn't think it would ever happen to me. That's how a lot of people think about death. They hear it about everybody else, but it's not going to happen to me. We live like we're going to live forever. And we live as hard and as fast like we think it's going to end real quickly. But in reality, when the devil comes before us and he makes us to realize and makes us to think and makes the world, the lost, that have been blinded by the devil, he makes them feel like that tomorrow will be all right. Tomorrow will take care of it. And tomorrow I'll do this. And I've heard people say, if the Lord lets me live till tomorrow, I'll do this. Well, He may not let us live till tomorrow. He may not permit that to happen. But that's the lie and the ploy of the wicked one and how that he blinds men's eyes and people's eyes to the idea that life is short and death is sure and judgment is certain. So Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that's lost. And the reason that it's hid is because the devil hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Those that do not believe, he has blinded their minds and blinded their eyes. And Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I've been commanded to give to you the light of the gospel. What men do with it, one day will determine where they spend eternity. Last Wednesday night, a week ago, we started our mission meeting. Went all through the rest of the week, Sunday morning. And the reason we did that is to make it possible for those families to go to a world of darkness and take them the light of the gospel. You know, the people in Honduras, Brother Jackson, I read part of his letter tonight, he's in Honduras. The people there, they need the gospel because they're in darkness. The people in Africa, the people all around the world, the missionary to India, those folks are in darkness. The missionary to Saudi Arabia, my, we have no problem saying they're in darkness. They do not worship even God. But you know, as long as the devil can keep them in their religion and keep them doing all that they're doing, and most of the people that they're going to are religious. People in India are very religious. They worship many idols. The people in Honduras are very religious. The big majority of them Roman Catholic. They're very, very religious. Saudi Arabia, we know they're very religious. Wherever you go, there's people of religion. And we're not interested in religion. Our gospel is not a gospel of religion. Our gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ of salvation that changes a man, changes an individual, man, woman, boy, girl, changes them from a creature of sin unto a saint of God, changes them and takes them out of the kingdom of darkness. That's what Satan's kingdom is called, the kingdom of darkness. And he plants our feet in the kingdom of light, the light of the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. So when you pray for our missionaries, when you pray for all those that we know and people that we have prayer requests for, folks that are lost, the only thing they need is to have their eyes opened and the darkness flee. If that was to happen, if that could happen and would happen, they'd come to know Jesus Christ just as we did one day when the darkness fled us. I was once in darkness. You was once in darkness. But thank God the gospel took care of that. And the light of God's gospel brought salvation to our souls. So pray one for another. Pray for those that we know that are lost. Pray for those that we do not know that are lost. Pray for people to have light and not be burdened and blinded any longer by the wicked one. Let's stand together tonight.